Last week, a federal appeals court refused to lift a block on President Obama's executive action on immigration. We will talk about this legal setback and what it means for immigrant families and communities. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, June 1st. Happy June to you. It's good to be back with you after a mostly staycation last week. Thanks to John Munson for filling in for me, and thanks to my producers who work extra hard when I am away. But again, good to be back and good to be talking about an important issue, immigration reform, and welcoming your thoughts and questions on this legal setback. Do you support or oppose the intent of President Obama's executive actions on immigration? DAPA, which stands for Deferred Action for Parents of Americans and Lawful Permanent Residents, would have offered an estimated 4 million undocumented immigrants some relief from deportation. We'll talk about what this court decision means now with Christina Jimenez, co-founder and managing director of the United We Dream Network, the largest immigrant youth-led organization in the nation. She joins us from the Argo Studios in New York City. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much for being with us. Well, first of all, what is the mission of United We Dream Network?
United We Dream is a national network of 53 groups and across 25 states. We aim to organize and advocate for fair treatment and dignity of immigrant youth and families.
Mm-hmm. What is your reaction to the federal appeals court last week refusing to lift the block on President Obama's executive action on immigration?
You know, I think for me and for immigrant families and for families like my own, it was definitely a frustrating moment to hear the decision from the court. We're talking about, about 4 million people that have been living in fear of deportation, my parents and my family. For example, we came 17 years ago, and I grew up in New York with my family. And since then, we have been living in that fear of potentially being separated and lose one of our loved ones to deportation. So what this program would have done, if we could, move forward with it, is protect people like my parents from deportation. And unfortunately, the court's decision, it's blocking people like my parents and millions like them from being able to finally be able to live without fear.
So your parents, to clarify, are undocumented, but you are not?
My parents are undocumented. I was undocumented for a very long time until 2014, when I was able to get my my legal permanent residence.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit what that means, living in fear.
Well, the fear of immigrant families affects different aspects of our life. For example, when I was just a 14-year-old, my dad was working at a car wash in New York City. And like him, many other undocumented workers were not getting their wages for about a month. And being the only one that spoke some English in the house, my dad asked me to help him to get to talk to his boss and get the wages back for them. But they were all, including my dad, very fearful of, either calling the police or calling the Department of Labor or even, asking for their wages that they have worked for because of the fear that their employer will call immigration and they will get deported. You have families across the country in places like Arizona where local police works with immigration agent with the immigration agency, and when you're driving and you're driving without a license, which in many states undocumented people are not able to get a driver's license, you could get deported for that as well. And we have seen now over 2 million people that have been deported, which has resulted in millions of families and children that have been left without their parents.
Yeah. Well, what would you say, though, to those who say you are, for those who are undocumented, you are in this country illegally, you should be deported?
Well, you know, I will say, let's look at the history of this country, which has had a wave of immigrants that have come, like my own, seeking a better life. My parents didn't have jobs for many months after economic crisis in the country, and their dream was so that I could go to school, I could have food, and so that my brother and I can get a better life and have an opportunity that unfortunately my country of origin couldn't offer for my family or for us, for my brother and I. And that's why my parents came, seeking that American dream, and that's what many millions of families across centuries have done here, coming from different parts of the world. The other thing is that we've already have a program that has given relief to a portion of the undocumented community, and that is the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program that was announced by the president in 2012. Of course, you know, the way that we got here is by pressuring the president. Immigrant youth organized for over 2 years and advocated aggressively for the president to take this action and protect about 1.1 million young people who had grown up here, like myself, from deportation. And this program has gone into effect since 2012. We have over 700,000 young people that have benefited from the program. And this is what the program has done. You know, people like my brother Jonathan, who now is 20 and was able to benefit from this program, he was able to come forward to fill out an application, to pay a fee that is over $400, to go through a background check, and to be able to wait a couple of months until his application was reviewed by immigration and finally approved. My brother now has a protection from deportation and also has been able to join college and be able to find a part-time job to help to pay for his school and my parents. So like him, over 700,000 young people, close to 6,000 of them in the state of Wisconsin who have had the experience like my brother and who are going to school and working and, finally able to live without fear. So this is the program that we're talking about. This is the program that people like my parents and millions like them will be able to go through if we're able to move forward with the program. So that's what I will say. You know, one, it benefits obviously directly families like mine who will be able to live without fear, further contribute, come forward, work, pay taxes. But it would also, benefit our communities and the country at large. So, for example, you know, just taking a look at Wisconsin so that this, fits more into context with your listeners, about 25,000 people from Wisconsin will be able to benefit from the executive actions that the program announced in December. Just in payroll taxes alone, this will add about $19 million to the state. And, you know, just like this in the case of Wisconsin, the economic benefits will be felt across the country.
Now, Christine, I'm looking at a news report that talks mainly about this federal appeals court denying the request to lift the action on the DAPA program. But does this also put the DACA program for children at risk?
No. And so that question is actually really helpful because we've been having confusion within our community as to what the court's decision really means. The DACA program that was announced in 2012, of which we've had more than 700,000 young people applied, it stays intact. And in fact, there is about 400,000 young people that are still out there that could benefit from the program and apply. And every year, there are about 90,000 young people who turn 15, and therefore they age into the DACA program. So that program stays intact, and we continue to do community efforts and education and application assistance so that young people can continue to apply and pursue their dreams of an education. But the program that is not able to move forward is the one for parents.
We will continue talking about President Obama's executive action on immigration law that was dealt another legal setback last week. And we welcome your questions and your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We'll check news and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. A federal appeals court last week continued a block on President Obama's executive order on immigration law changes, the DAPA executive action, DAPA standing for Deferred Action for Parents of Americans and Lawful Permanent Residents, which would have offered the parents of children who are legally in this country, some protection from deportation. We wonder if you approve or disapprove of this federal appeals court ruling. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Christina Jimenez, who is co-founder and managing director of the United We Dream Network, the largest immigrant youth-led organization in the nation. And again, welcoming your questions and your views on this. I would like, Christina, to talk a little bit about now what. Now what do you hope happens when it comes to this issue?
Well, you know, we will continue to educate the community on the program. We know that ultimately, on the legal grounds, there's no question that the president had the authority and that he acted within his constitutional authority to proceed with this program. So we know that the ultimate outcome of the litigation will stand on our side, on the side of immigrant communities who are hoping to have this relief of deportation, you know, like my own parents. So we will continue to educate our community and also educate our community about, you know, who is really behind this lawsuit, you know, a group of mainly Republican governors and attorney generals that filed this lawsuit, knowing strategically that they were filing this in one of the most conservative courts in the country. So many of the outcomes that we have seen so far in this legal process were expected, but ultimately we know that the law stands by the side of this action and that our communities and people like my parents will be able to apply for the program soon.
Yeah, this was a Texas-led coalition of different states, including including Wisconsin. What message do you have for the governors of those states?
You know, I think what is very clear, particularly as we are in a presidential cycle, is that immigration, it's certainly not the only issue that the immigrant and the Latino community in particular care about, but it's a very personal issue for our communities. And the Latino community will be looking at each candidate's immigration record. And so, you know, for example, whether the governor of Wisconsin will run for president or not, it's unknown. But just looking at his own record, for example, at one point in the last year, he supported a pathway to citizenship and immigration reform for people who were here, like my parents, without immigration papers. And just recently, he has actually aligned himself with the extreme right of his own party, saying that he does not support this. And, you know, I wonder if Governor Walker is going to go into the same line as Mitt Romney when he endorsed the self-deportation agenda on immigration and completely lost the Latino vote during the presidential election in our last cycle. So, you know, I think that what it's going to be critical is to know that the Latino and the immigrant community are watching what, you know, every single policymaker and political candidate out there is saying and doing on immigration, looking at their track record, and ultimately their actions and their words will have political implications.
What about presidential candidate Hillary Clinton? She recently announced immigration reform policies that she would support that went beyond President Obama.
You know, it was really interesting to see, and I've been, you know, doing organizing and advocacy on this issue for the last 10 years, is interestingly enough, candidates always change their views on this issue depending on the time. And what we have seen with Secretary Hillary Clinton is that, you know, before she had come out against driver's licenses for undocumented people, she also was talking about how immigrant children that were fleeing violence in Central America should be sent back to those countries in very, very dangerous conditions. And just recently, in an event in Las Vegas, she talked to undocumented young people in a high school and talked very boldly about how she will be committing to not only work on immigration reform, but to also seek to do more as president if Congress did not move on immigration reform. So, you know, out of all of the presidential hopefuls, the secretary has actually come out much more boldly on immigration and lean in and being very clear that she is looking to do work on solutions that will protect families from deportation. But again, you know, we also saw a candidate like Senator Obama at the time who became president that ran a campaign promising the Latino community that he will deliver immigration reform. And we already seen what has happened over the last two terms. It took a lot of work to get the president to even announce these temporary programs. And, you know, we still don't have immigration reform that provides a permanent solution for our community. So, you know, words are not enough, and definitely actions will speak louder. So it is up to our community to be able to hold those folks accountable and true to their words.
Back to Governor Walker, who is expected to announce that he's running for president. He, when he was talking about immigration, also said that he might favor limiting legal immigration, saying that immigrants are taking jobs from citizens of this country. What's your reaction to that?
You know, once again, I think that that's another statement from Governor Walker, in which we have seen him now, you know, flip-flopping and backtracking from what he has said before, when he had mentioned that he actually supports an immigration reform with a pathway to citizenship. When it comes to this conversation about jobs, you know, one poll after poll has shown that Americans want a solution on immigration and are supportive of immigrants being able to be integrated, come out of the shadows, and be full participants and have a pathway to citizenship. On the conversation about jobs, you know, study after study have demonstrated that immigrant workers are actually complementary to the workforce. And the having workers, you know, like my own parents who are in the labor market without immigration status actually just allows for employers to be the only winners here because they are in a powerful position to exploit workers like my parents who are going to stay quiet about wages or workplace violations. And that kind of behavior only, allows for a downward pressure on all workers' rights and workplace rights.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Cristina Jimenez, who is co-founder, managing director of the United We Dream Network, which is the largest immigrant youth-led organization in the nation. We are talking with her about immigration reform politics and policy, talking with her because last week a federal appeals court refused to lift a block on President Obama's executive action on immigration, DAPA, which would have offered an estimated 4 million undocumented immigrants, parents of children who are legally in this country, some relief from deportation. What do you think about the federal appeals court decision, President Obama's executive action on immigration reform? How does the lack of a clear immigration policy affect you or your community? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, Cristina, before we go to the phones, let's talk some about now your parents and what might face them. Are they now at risk of being deported?
Yes, unfortunately. That continues to be the fear that they have and that they have had for the last 17 years. You know, last November when my parents knew that I had been advocating for this policy change, and when I found out that the president was going to announce this change, I called my dad, and he cried over the phone. And he said, finally, I will be able to live without fear. And finally, I feel visible in this country, and I feel very hopeful. And that hope that he hasn't had in 17 years was very real that night when I called him. And unfortunately, because of this injunction, the situation for my parents and for millions of people like them has not changed, continues to be the same. And unfortunately, we see that Immigration and Customs Enforcement continues to lead practices that are inhumane and are out of control when it comes to deportation and detention. So in our communities, in places like Texas and Florida, for example, in the last couple of months, we have seen raids and other tactics that are targeting immigrant families, and we continue to see deportations and family separation.
Yeah, the National Council of La Raza, the nation's largest Latino advocacy organization, declared President Obama deporter-in-chief. How many deportations has this administration overseen?
Over 2 million deportations since President Obama took office. And, fortunately, we have even seen a reverse on some practices. President Obama, in his first term, ended the practices of having family detention centers. These are detention facilities that keep families, meaning parents and children, in detention for months before they're processed. And even though the president ended this practice, it has reemerged as a practice of the administration. And we are seeing actually a growth on some of those family detention centers. So unfortunately, the practices around deportation and detention have continued over the years.
The administration had said it prioritizes people with criminal backgrounds. Do you agree?
This was announced in November when the president, along with the executive actions, also announced agency-wide guidelines by which the Department of Homeland Security and Immigration Customs Enforcement is supposed to follow when it comes to deportations. And the guidelines basically prioritize who ICE agents should be prioritizing for using their resources for deportation. Unfortunately, what you see in the guidelines in this memo that was issued by the agency is contrary to what's happening in practice. So even though the guidelines are very clear in terms of the discretion that officers can use to decide whether a person should be deported or not, so taking into consideration, for example, how many years they've lived here, whether they have family members here or not, do they have U.S. citizen children here, are they working? Many agents, for the most part, what we are observing across the country is that they're not really using this discretion, but rather deporting people. And so people, just some a case that we saw in Texas recently, this person was, it was a father of two U.S. citizen children, had been working and living in this country for over 20 years, and he was still deported. So the agency memo and the guidelines that the administration has set out are not being put into practice in reality.
So what's the effect of these deportations then on families and communities?
The impact is devastating. You see children that are being separated from their parents. In many cases, some of the children are actually put in the foster care system because their parents are deported. Husbands are losing their wives or wives are losing their husbands. And we see, an entire disruption of families and communities at the local, in local communities, in schools, in churches, etc. And this creates just a massive level of fear, by which people need to live under. You could just picture a young child going to school in fear that his or her parents are not going to be home when they return back from school. You can see children opening their door and finding an empty home because their parents have been deported.
We've been getting callers who don't want to stay to join us on air, but Jerry, who was one caller who couldn't stay, wanted to say that he is a legal immigrant. And wanted to know if you think that our borders should be open. Should we have open borders to people from any country?
That it's part of the debate of immigration reform. And I do not believe that you have heard any advocate or advocacy organization calling for open borders. There's definitely a sense that there needs to be border security, but beyond that, I think what needs to come along with this conversation is also practices at the border, and how people who are being apprehended are being treated, etc. So that at the same time that the borders are being protected, you're also having humane practices to ensure that people are treated humanely. But also I think that it's, the rhetoric that we get caught up with, that you hear in Washington a lot, that we need border security. And, that has actually been part of the gridlock. And what we have seen, it's more and more gridlock on immigration and not progress on immigration. Let's have a conversation about immigration reform that talks about border security, but that also talks about how we can bring forward millions of people that are already here in the country. Many people that are in the country legally, like myself, and U.S. citizen children who have undocumented parents who are waiting for our government to be able to provide a path that would allow people to finally get immigration status.
Do you support or oppose the intent of President Obama's recent executive order, which would provide protection from deportation for the undocumented immigrant parents of children who are citizens of the U.S. or lawful permanent residents? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We're talking about the politics and policy of immigration reform in light of a federal appeals court last week blocking President Obama's executive action on immigration. It would have offered an estimated 4 million undocumented immigrants some relief from deportation, specifically parents, undocumented parents of children who are lawfully in this country. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And now we have lots of callers and comments, so let's go to the phone and take Gail in Whitehall. Hello, Gail.
Hello there. One point that seems to be missing here is that it is illegal to come to this country illegally, and I don't care if you're from Norway or Mexico, you shouldn't be allowed to come in here. So therefore, it's very simple. I spent a lot of time in South Texas, and there the illegals are very prevalent, and they do not assimilate. I mean, the grocery stores are still in Spanish, in some of them, and it's just very common to, you don't hear much English spoken. It's all Hispanic. And, like I say, they do not assimilate, and if it's illegal, if it's breaking the law, they should be punished. I'm sorry.
Well, Christina, your reaction to that?
Well, I will say that it's just very ironic the way that we talk about immigration in that way, because, you know, it is almost as if just right at the border we have a sign that says, you know, you're not allowed to come in, but at the same time we have a sign that says, we offer you jobs. And, you know, we have employers, a massive industry of employers that benefits from the cheap labor of immigrants, which has been an issue for over centuries here. And that aids the contradiction that we are juggling here in this immigration debate. And what we are saying is you have people that already live here, that have been here for many years, that have been working here and raising their children, and deporting them all, it's not realistic. It's not what most Americans want either way. So let's find a common sense solution that would allow people to come forward and be able to further contribute in our communities.
Ed on Facebook, a follow-up to Gail's other point. Why do so many immigrants never learn American English, even though they earn their money here and have been here for extended periods of time?
Well, you know, you see people like myself and my parents who are not fully proficient, but they have tried to learn over many years, and even though they're not fully proficient, they are able to communicate. So you see, you know, workers and immigrant families across the country who want to learn, want to be able to get engaged in American society to the full extent. We're just waiting for that opportunity to be able to do it fully.
Yeah. Let's go next to Jackie in Oshkosh. Hello, Jackie.
Hello. I really agree with Gail's call when, you know, it's illegal to enter, and unless you do what they expect you to do and follow the rules about entering our country, then, you know, it's against law. On the other hand, my ancestors were Native American. We fought with our lives to keep our country. And I do believe that if they're going to deport parents instead of the child coming home and finding nobody there, they should have the opportunity to take their children with them. They shouldn't be forced to stay in America without their parents. And it kind of sounded like, in my opinion, that your guest was almost threatening Walker that if he didn't support this, that he wasn't going to become president. And no matter, I mean, you can't do that.
I'm not sure about threatening, but maybe you should clarify your comments there. You thought that his position would not earn him the Latino vote, Christina.
Yeah, I'm not here to threaten anyone, and we are a nonpartisan organization. Our role is to work for our community, not to work for any political party or elected official. What I was talking about and giving your question was about the record on immigration from many of the presidential hopefuls, including Governor Walker. We also talked about Secretary Clinton and other presidential hopefuls in the past, like Mitt Romney, just looking at the record on immigration. And explaining that for the immigrant community, the immigration issue, even though it's not the only thing that immigrants and Latinos care about, it's a very personal issue to them. And for anyone to be able to win the White House, they will need Latino support, which is why you see many candidates trying to appeal to the Latino vote.
What about her thought about if parents are deported, they should bring or should be able to bring their children with them?
I mean, I think that that's, one of the challenges that we're seeing. This is not happening. Families are being separated and disrupted in ways that are completely not humane. And we, are talking about families that have already lives here and children that do not know the countries where their parents are from. Many of them do not speak the language where their parents are from. And if they are, like in this case, U.S. citizens, my belief is, that like children and their families should be able to make a choice if this is the place where they have worked really hard and planted their roots and develop a community and want to live here and want to raise their children here.
Delma in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Delma.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning. Go ahead with your comment, Delma.
I was listening to the speaker that's stating that there is a huge contradiction, and I totally agree with that. But I work here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at a local staffing agency. I'm a career consultant, and I'm just calling because if the case ever came down to the Hispanics or the immigrants not working illegal here in America, I think half of America would be at a shutdown. Why? Because half of the companies that we do, that we send out people to, are Hispanic. The wages that they're paying are way lower than what typical wages are. We've had this problem for several years that every time that people go to marches or at a shutdown, mile first or whatever, but it's frightening because yet the big politicians have immigrants working as a nanny, closet, hiding in the closet, and it's a big, huge contradiction. This problem is way bigger than what the people really think. Whether Hispanics have a felony or not, I agree. Put them out. Get them out of here. We don't need more bad people than there already is here in America. But obviously the good people who do want to come and work, because other people, Caucasian people, black people, who don't want to do the work for the labor that they get paid for, and other people do want to do it, then I'm sorry. You've got to let somebody do it. And if they're willing to pay $7.25, $10.25, I'm sorry. America would be at a shutdown. And for those people who call in and say, yeah, everything's written in Spanish, well, you know what? I'm not sad to say I am Hispanic. I love being Hispanic, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm not from Mexico, and I'm from my parents from Spain, but I totally agree. If they work for what they've got, good for them.
Delma, thank you very much. So what about her comment that our economy would shut down if we didn't have undocumented workers, Christina?
Well, this is, you know, the point that I was raising before, and it's the contradiction of this debate. Over the years, the United States has taken, and our country has taken, positions, on immigration and particularly immigrant workers that have allowed the exploitation of workers. You have seen this through the Bracero program, a program that, allowed in the 1940s for workers to come in from Mexico and other countries to work and farm our land and grow our crops for really low wages. And that has been a practice that has continued, and what you still see today, that ultimately obviously has an impact on the workers themselves because of the wages that they get and just the room for exploitation and discrimination that exists there. And again, the winners only being the employers that are reaping economic benefits for exploiting workers. But also it affects, working Americans across the country, because this allows employers to put downward pressure on the workplace and on the wages. That's why we need a permanent solution. That's why we need Congress to step up and finally deliver a solution on this issue that is permanent. In the meantime, however, we cannot, at least for our families, continue to live in fear of deportation, which is why the temporary measures that the president has announced are of some relief to our communities now. But ultimately, even though, clearly the people in Washington, D.C. are disconnected from the rest of the country and have not been able to deliver on multiple issues, not only immigration, the reality is that we need Congress to work on that, and it's the only body of the government that can deliver a permanent solution on this issue.
And we will leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us and answering our listeners' questions and responding to their comments.
Great to be here.
Christina Jimenez is co-founder, managing director of the United We Dream Network, the largest immigrant youth-led organization in the nation. Thanks to Marika Suval, Kayla Blado, and Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We will talk with Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson about the latest state budget news and what's next for the state budget coming up on our state capitol report. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.